see anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, so what did you watch this last week, by the way? Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You forgot that other guy.
With us, as always, for now, is the super fan, Mark Piscati.
Hi, everybody. It's me.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason we have this funny stuff happening at the front is because Mark decided to, when we first started recording, to jump in and introduce the show. And that is a no. But as Joe and his wife predicted.
That's Matt's line.
Yeah.
Oh, I predicted it too.
As they all predicted, and Joe's wife, Michelle, or Shelley, I was going to stop it. And I did immediately.
No tomfoolery at the top of the show.
No, there's no tomfoolery at the top.
No.
Damn it.
How's it going?
Swell. What have you been up to, Matt?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Joe and Mark, school started. I am now teaching a horror literature class, which is a lot of fun. Kids, you know, seem to be into it. The class has grown. It started out at the beginning of the year with like 10 kids in it, and now it's like 28. Like kids are adding it and changing their schedules to add it. So it's going well, very well.
Is the required homework listening to our podcast?
No, I don't necessarily want them hearing some of the things that come out of some of our mouths.
Yeah.
Is it reading The Last House?
No. I would be loath to. I would not do that. No. But we are reading a bunch of short stories this semester, and then we're going to read The Shining second semester. So, yeah.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could bring myself to read that again.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Yeah. It's been a while. I'm actually looking forward to reading it because I think I've only read it once, and it was probably like in the 80s, you know, maybe 90s. I can't remember now.
I can guarantee you I will never read it again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a long, I mean, I loved it, but it's a long read. But that was one that at the end of it, I missed the characters. Like I felt myself missing the characters after it was over.
I agree. I just don't ever want to reread the scenes that were removed from the movie. Omitted, I should say, from the movie again.
Like the hedge whole, animals or
the no, for it.
Oh, for it.
Yes.
Oh,
when I said I'm never going to read it again, I meant it, the book, not read The Shining.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I got that. And then my mind jumped back to The Shining. Yeah. Well, like the orgy, the kid orgy at the end. That, yeah. That was very
turtle
bizarre
thing. And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. The ending of, the book was very disappointing. I thought
for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The high hold silver part.
Well, no, that was kind of throughout. No, the ending of it and what it is. I don't want to give away too much, but what it actually turned out to be at the end of the books was, I thought, disappointing. Uh-oh. So, Joe, have you watched anything that was not included in our list this week?
I've watched three things that were not included in our list.
Wow, good.
I watched Humane. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah, Humane. I have.
Yeah, Humane is Caitlin Cronenberg. It's David Cronenberg's daughter.
That's right.
In the wake of an environmental collapse that's forcing humanity to shed 20% of its population, a family dinner erupts into chaos when a father plans to enlist the government to euthanize. Goes horribly wrong. It's actually a fairly decent cast. Jay Baruchel, Emily Hampshire, and she was from Schitt's Creek.
That's right.
Peter Gallagher is in it. Enrico Colantoni, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Peter Gallagher. Wow.
Yeah. Peter Gallagher plays the dad. It's it wasn't like top of my list thing, but it was very entertaining. I loved all the infighting in it. It was very divisive, and it was a fairly decent watch. I like this quite a bit, actually. It was somewhere in my 3.5 to 4 star range.
Who's Peter Gallagher? Why does that sound so familiar? What else is he?
He has also been.
Why am I thinking of Bosom Buddies, the other guy besides
Tom? No, that's Peter Scolari.
Yeah. Peter Scolari. He was in American Beauty, While You Were Sleeping.
I think he was in something we watched for CineScare, too. Maybe.
Yeah, I cannot place.
I'll look him up.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you're the one that doesn't know. Anyway, that was fairly decent. That was on Shudder just recently, and pretty fun watch. I finally got around to buying and watching Oddity, which is probably tied for my number one of the year so far.
Wow.
The jump scares were absolutely phenomenal. I've normally, you know, when a jump scare happens in a movie, I'm more like mentally surprised than anything. This one, I physically jumped at the tent scene. It was just tremendous.
My God.
And it's so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
The entire film, I loved it from beginning to end, especially the guy made out of wood. It's just so creepy.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Creepshow 2, the wooden Indian.
Yeah.
The first story.
Yeah.
But I saw it too. I absolutely jumped out of my seat with the tent scene and the one scene where something pops up in the corner just real fast and she just goes, "Muh," or something like that. Oh my God.
Anytime the wood guy kind of changed positions or whatever. It was
so creepy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed placing myself in the wife's shoes during the scene where she has to make a decision. You described this in one of our previous episodes that she's in this big house all alone in the middle of nowhere. Somebody knocks on the door and says, "I just saw somebody go into your house." And she's got to decide whether or not he's lying just to get her to open the door and kill her, or if he's really honest and tries to save her. And it's quite a conundrum, but it's so captivating. It's such a good show. And this is another one I was telling Matt, I was debating whether or not to buy this or rent this. They pulled that thing where it's like $14.99 to buy it and it's $7.99 to rent it.
Right.
It's like, oh, what the hell? Just go ahead and buy it anyway. But this is one of those few instances where I'm very glad that I did.
Yeah, I bought it too, and then we watched it because Michelle, when I went to see it, I was by myself. Michelle didn't come with me. So Michelle and I, and then Reznor and his girlfriend, we all watched it on Saturday night, and they were all jumping and the next day his girlfriend was like, you know, had trouble sleeping or whatever. So I think, and it's just a good old fashioned story too, like a kind of a haunting slash I'm not sure what else, but it's good and a good mystery, you know. It's I thought everything tied together towards the end too, so it's definitely I'm surprised you have it tied for one. That's awesome. It's definitely top five for me for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know where it'll wind up, but it definitely is top five. Where is it? Is it in yours as well, Mark?
Yeah, definitely top five. I enjoyed the hell out of this. It felt like that what Joe was talking about. It's that when she's at the door and the guy's peeking through, he's going, "Someone's in the house. Who do you trust?" and all that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. You know, there's someone in your back seat. You know, from like Urban Legend. You know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, what do you do? Who do you trust? And it's just a great scene. It's just a great film in general. I mean, I haven't jumped like that in a while.
Yeah, that was one. I think I mentioned it when I gave my original review that I actually got goosebumps in the theater. And that's with like other people around. I actually got goosebumps in the theater from that movie.
And those jump scares weren't cheap. Perfect, awesome jump scares.
Yeah, they were well set up and definitely earned for sure. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So what was your third one, Joe?
And then I watched Arcadian, which I knew we were going to get into. It's okay. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love, like, if Oddity was a 100, Arcadian would be like a 62. I was just on such a good high of watching, like, I was so thrilled with Humaine. Then I watched Oddity and it just took it up a notch. And then I watched Arcadian. I did like the character design. I really wish they would have explored it more, but the whole scenario just seemed rather overdone. You know, it seemed like elements of A Quiet Place, but I really, the one element of the creature that I really thought was awesome was how it like moves his mouth back and forth so quickly. Like it's about ready to just, you know, clap to the extent that it's going to explode. And then all of a sudden it's biting at you.
It was awesome.
It was great. I loved it, but I didn't get enough of it. And I didn't get an explanation of why it does it or anything like that. I just, not that I need an explanation for it, but I just wanted it to be exploited a little bit more, you know, for my enjoyment. Nicolas Cage was fine. Jaden Martell, from It, coincidentally, was fairly decent in it. It was the story that kind of bored me. It was a little lagsome, and I didn't think it. I thought it could have moved a little quicker. I thought it had some pacing issues. I wasn't entertained from beginning to end like I was with Oddity. So it was okay.
Yeah,
it was decent.
Yeah, I gave it 3.5 cuts. It probably won't make my top 10, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's definitely in my top 10. I really enjoyed it. I mean, that one scene with the arm going outstretched, it was a gorgeous shot. And then the nails going. I mean, I understand what Joe's saying, that these creatures weren't really explained, like, why. I mean, something about pollution, I guess. I mean, just the visual effects, I just really enjoyed the chattering, how they all just formed in like a huge and giant wheel just rolling around was absolutely just never seen that before in my life. And I loved the actors. I thought Nicolas Cage really was grounded in this. He didn't go too super nuts at all in this film, you know, just a normal average guy. And
yeah, no rage cage.
Yeah, no rage cage at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's definitely in my top 10 right now, for sure. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah. Mark, what else did you watch? Was that it? Or
No. I watched The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
I bit the bullet, and it's The Crow's just it's a remake of the classic, I think it's like 1994 version.
Sounds about right.
With Brandon Lee. I think that's the year. It's either 93 or 94.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack. This soundtrack sucks. And everything about this movie was disappointing. I don't know why Hollywood cannot get off of trying to do a remake of Brandon Lee and just do a remake of the comic. Like the look and feel of the comic. Like, with maybe some animation and all that, it'd probably be like Joe's favorite movie of all time if they did like threw in animation. It just like, I don't know. It's it's the style of like John Wick fighting now. But it just disappoints because Shelley and Eric, you know, the two main characters, they meet in a drug rehab at the beginning, and you don't believe that they're in love. This actress, AKA Twiggy, I think is her name. She's horrible in it. She's not a good actress. And their love story wasn't believable. So the whole entire time, I'm just not buying into, you know, this revenge. And he was going, you know, he's getting revenge with all these like characters that didn't have anything to do with it. And he's just killing everybody like John Wick. It was a horrible movie. So avoid it at all costs. I don't even recommend it, like watching it for free for streaming. It was that disappointing. And I saw Alien Romulus. Any of you guys see it?
Not yet.
I thought you talked about it last time, didn't you?
Nope.
No? Okay.
No. I texted you guys about it and I said it's 5 out of 5 cuts and you know, but that's when I got out of the theater. I went to see it again and there are some problems with it. So it's not 5 out of 5 cuts for me. It's like 4.5 out of 5. There's a line at the end that is a line at the end of Aliens that was so disappointing. It didn't need to be there. It made no sense. And that really took away from it. The actor, David Johnson, who plays this android, Andy, is phenomenal. He is just, he steals the whole entire film.
That's a bit on the nose. An android named Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But it's how he changes, how his character changes from something to another back and forth. It's really, really fascinating to watch. It's scary. They really emphasize on the face huggers in this film. I jumped really good twice. I saw it in 4DX, which was absolutely phenomenal. It was so much fun. I'd never done 4DX before. Have you guys?
Yeah.
So, no. Yeah. So it's, you're sitting in these seats and they move, you know? And so like when the spaceship is moving to the right, your seats move to the right and to the left. And when the face, when the face hugger is like coming like towards their ankles, blasts of air shoots out by your ankles and just freaks the shit out of you. And blasts of air is like shoot by your ears when the face hugger like gets on one of the people's face. When the chest burster happened, there was a thumping in the back of your back, like to the beat of the thing coming out of, you know, the person's chest, which was absolutely amazing. When you saw acid, there was a smell of like acid in the air. When it was raining, little drops of water was going on you. It was such a unique experience that I highly recommend seeing it in 4DX. And I think I want to see any kind of like spectacle like that in 4DX because it was so much fun. It was so immersive.
So, oh, wow. I don't even know where that's offered here. I'm not sure.
There used to be this ride, this event, whatever attraction at Disney World. I want to say might have been Epcot. I believe it was called like Alien Invasion or something like that. You walked into this big theater. It was round, a big theater in the round. And there was this apparatus in the middle of the room. It was just a big cylinder. And to make a long story short, when the lights start coming back on, you'll see one of the xenomorphs in it. And then all of a sudden the lights will flicker and the lights go out. And then all of a sudden you hear this explosion and you hear glass breaking. You feel like cold air and water blasting by your face. And he's just escaped. And now he's in the room with you and you can hear him breathing behind you and you can feel warm air breathing on your neck. And as he walks from left to right behind you, when he passes you, your whole harness, like, pushes down on your shoulders like he just partially stepped on it. It was the scariest and coolest thing I'd ever experienced there. And it was there for, I don't know, God, 6-7 years. And then they Disney-fied it and they turned it into Stitch. So instead of it being Alien, it's a cartoon and totally ruined it.
That's too bad.
They had gold there.
Oh.
So is that it, Mark?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I actually didn't watch anything this time that wasn't theme related. So
Wow, you really suck.
Yeah. Other than revisiting Oddity. Oh, yeah. I didn't have time to go to the theater and I didn't check out anything new, unfortunately. So
you're a busy man.
I get,
by the way, I want to point out before I forget, Oddity was a rental. Arcadian, that was that Shudder?
It's on Shudder.
It was Shudder. Yeah. And so was Humane, was on Shudder, if anybody wants to watch those.
Yeah, I definitely want to check out Humane. I think I did talk last time about Cuckoo, I believe. I saw
that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I talked about that last time. So, yeah, no, I didn't get a chance to see anything this time. But I am excited because in the next couple of weeks, there's some good horror coming out. Red Rooms is one that I've been hearing a lot of buzz about, and that's coming out, I think, September 6th. Beetlejuice is coming out, I believe, that same weekend.
Oh, I'm so not looking forward to watching that.
Yeah.
Neither am I.
Hey, yeah, remember when we did a show called Beetlejuice? Well, here it is again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of curious what it's going to be like. I think we'll probably go see it, but I'm not dying to see it.
Yeah.
But. Well, I hear that for a sequel, Michael Keaton is only in the same amount of time he was in the original. It's like 17 minutes. So hopefully everything that we see is gold like last time, but I think it's a rehash of everything of the original. So I'm just blah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I heard that he didn't want, you know, he didn't want it to be all about Beetlejuice.
Right. Which is smart, you know?
Yeah. Cause the first one wasn't.
Right. Yeah. So
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we're going to be surprised. Maybe our expectations are so low. We actually might actually enjoy it. Who knows?
Could be. Who knows?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of low expectations, are we ready for the assignment?
In that segue.
What the fuck does that mean? You're already starting it on me?
This week's theme is On the Nose by Mark. And
I'm sorry.
It's called Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. And he did manage to find at least two of the three movies with names of the actual theme in them. So
I didn't think of that.
I was the only one he's missing is automobile. There's no there's no, he could have picked the car, I guess, but
that would have been a good one. Fuck,
I don't know that I've seen that.
It's good.
It's a good one. I think it was a HBO movie, maybe, or I don't remember what that was on or if it came out in theaters, but I haven't seen that in a long time too.
Yeah.
I reviewed it. I think on my second time the third time I was ever on the show, I reviewed it.
Huh.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe we'll revisit that one at some point in the near future, that theme.
Trains, and automobiles redone.
Yeah, there you go.
Not to shit on Mark's picks.
No, don't worry about Mark's feelings. Mark's feelings has already been stepped on at the beginning of the show. Welcome to the City Scare Horror Podcast. I'm one of your hosts.
Is that how it goes?
It's not how it goes.
God.
So, Mark, take us through your picks and tell us about your theme and what it means to you.
Other than simple modes of transportation.
I was trying to keep things simple. And who doesn't love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the movie, you know? And so, I said, that could be three movies. And it can involve planes, trains, and automobiles, like films, like, you know, kind of like the theme. And so that's what I thought of. I said, hey, what a great idea, Mark. I thought it was cute. As cute as John Candy farting in the bed. So like horror films involving planes, horror films involving trains, horror films involving automobiles. So the first one is going to be planes, because that's the first one on the nose. and it's called Snakes on a Plane.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the first pick of the plane category. And why not Snakes on a Plane? The writer wanted to write a script with two phobias combined, the fear of planes and the fear of snakes. And what would happen if you're 35,000 feet in the air in this silver can tube with snakes dropping into your laps? You know, and in any kind of disaster films, you have the pop culture, you know, identification. You have the Paris Hilton character with the little dog, the mother and her baby, the old English asshole guy. You have the rapper and the bodyguards, the hot boyfriend and girlfriend who can't keep their hands off each other. You know, the strong, intelligent stewardess, and then the bimbo stewardess, and, you know, just the gay tendency Stewart, you know, that actually wasn't at the end, which was a big surprise. And then, you know, the chauvinistic pilot, of course, and two kids on their first flight alone. And you add Samuel Jackson in the mix with this concept, and it went viral. And the reason why it went viral is because they were making a run-of-the-mill PG-13 trash-ass disaster movie. And some nerd saw it on the IMDb that this film was being made. And this movie is called Snakes on a Plane, starring Samuel Jackson. And everyone's like, this is a joke, right? Is this really, you know, going to be made? So the film nerds went to the IMDb forum and wrote, what?
It's the internet beta days.
It was. I mean, this is like the first time it was
It's IMDb. Database, yeah. Not
that's,
BD.
That's what I said.
No, not base okay, data. Okay,
yeah, you're right, Mark. You're right. We corrected you for no reason.
And you won't hear twice. Yourself do it twice.
Yeah.
when we listen to this.
It's the IMDb.
IMDb.
DB. Data.
Oh, IMDb.
DB.
IMDb.
D is in data. B is in base.
Okay.
Database. IMDb. He's going to do it again.
No, I'm not. They went on the forum and said, we will not see this movie unless Samuel L. Jackson screams, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on these motherfucking planes. And it went viral. And this is back in 2005. I mean, shit was really going viral back then. And the filmmakers found out about this and they're like, all right, we'll put it in, you know, that line in, but you know, he has to say motherfucker twice. So we're going to have to make it rated R. And the film was supposed to be PG-13, so they went back and shot an extra 15 minutes to make it a real hard R rating film. And that's why we got snake biting onto a dick and a sex scene in the bathroom. And the budget was only $10 million at first, but because of the internet buzz, they threw in millions upon millions of dollars because they thought this was going to be the movie of the year, and nobody showed up. And it did make, you know, their budget by only like $6 million or something like that by making the budget. And I didn't hate this film. Special effects was abysmal, but because they were so bad, it was kind of pretty laughable. I mean, the snakes had pretty colors. I'm sure without a doubt, this created Sharknado. And it's so fascinating how the internet created such hype for this film. And I thought it was, you know, fascinating in that form. And that's kind of like what the internet is kind of doing with films these days. And I think Snakes on a Plane was like kind of the first time it actually happened. Joe, what'd you think of it?
I have so many notes. Thank God for those internet trolls that brought us that extra 15 minutes of footage, because I don't know if this movie could have held itself together without it.
Right.
The opening motocross scene was very reminiscent of the windsurfing scene from The Last Shark when that opened up and he just kept riding and riding and riding. I'm thinking, oh God, this is going to go on for like 20 minutes. Yeah. So this kid, we see this kid kind of witnessing a murder. And then like the next day, the FBI shows up at his front door to save him because he witnessed a murder. And my note is, how in the hell did the FBI know that he witnessed a murder? The only tell that they gave him was, we found a soda can on the ground at the scene of the crime with your prints on it. That could have been like 20 minutes before they shot the guy. It could have been 6 days before he shot the guy. So it was just loosely strung together. That part really bothered me. As you pointed out, there were so many archetypes on that plane, and I can't believe I had to wait 30 whole minutes before I finally saw boobies. The writing, the writing on this, and of course, you know, the minute you see boobs, you know damn well she's going to get bit right in the nipple, and, you know, 3, 2, 1, latch yeah. right on, you yeah. know? No surprises there at all whatsoever. I love the writing in this film, such as fucking snake bit off my dick. That's mm-hmm. like pure Shakespeare
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, it is Shakespeare.
I don't understand how one of the captains flying the plane, he gets a snake that just lunges at him and bites him in the neck, and he dies essentially because of it. But yet when they go to examine him on, you know, like mid-flight, they think he had a heart attack. How can you confuse a snake bite on your neck that should have blood gushing out of it with, oh yeah, he probably just had a heart attack? That makes no sense at all whatsoever. I sure hope that the male flight attendant who was showing his kickboxing prowess to the actual kickboxer on the plane, I was really hoping that the steward would eventually, like in the film, have to kickbox a snake, but he doesn't. So that was kind of a missed joke right there. I don't understand where the flight attendants were when the scene where all the snakes are just dropping it. Like everybody on this plane is screaming yeah. in coach, and I don't see a single flight attendant anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't also understand. Oh, this one really bothered me. So the flight attendant, the male flight attendant, grabs the snake, throws him in a microwave, and presses what button?
The start button.
The yeah. snake button. Go back and watch it. There's a button on the microwave that fucking says snake. How stupid is that? I am not kidding at all. Go back and watch it.
Are you? Did you pause it? Did you take a picture? Horrible.
Yes, I was on IMDb, and I was reading ahead the trivia when I was watching it. And so when that scene came, I'm looking dead at that microwave. And sure enough, he presses the snake button.
That's terrible.
I also didn't like that stupid thing where they're saying all the snakes are different. So if you get bit, somebody might take longer to die than somebody else. I mean, they clearly just wrote that in for the kids, so they didn't have to have the kids die on the screen. Stupid thing with the whole Juliana Margulies, like, this is her last flight. I was waiting for her to say, like, look deadpan into the camera, break the fourth wall, and say, I'm getting too old for this shit. Because that's just kind of what it felt like on her last day. God, I could go on for days about this. The special effects, the snakes were just so unbelievably cartoony.
Yes.
And then, I didn't even understand how they ended this film. The ending should not have been Samuel Jackson and this kid, who we could really care less about, going surfing. I wanted to see some closure, like maybe the courtroom scene where they convict the guy that, you know, this bad guy that killed somebody at the very beginning of the movie. He gets like 3 minutes of screen time in this whole film. It was unbelievable. I wanted some sort of closure with him at the end. And I also didn't need a song during the credits by the Cobra Starship Band.
It's a great song, man. It's a great song.
Yeah, and what the hell's with the love story that they tacked on with Juliana Margulies and Samuel Jackson at the end?
I know, it's
Where
terrible.
Was their yeah. chemistry throughout all of it? Yeah. It just like, here you go. We're going to dump that in your lap too.
Right.
That was abysmal.
Terrible.
That being said, the movie was really fun.
Yay!
It was terrible, but it was like...
fun to watch.
It was like Drive-In Massacre fun.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't even bring up Kenan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
When he's flying the plane.
I love Kenan Thompson, but that was like the least on the edge of your seat flight landing ever. He just landed it like it was a regular pilot. Right, you
that's
know?
True.
Thank God for PlayStation.
Ugh. Yeah. The minute he said, oh, I've got flight experience, I knew damn well he was talking about that stupid video game.
Yes.
So.
Matt, I know you loved it.
No. I didn't find
Come on.
I didn't think it was fun the first time I saw it in the theater. I was angry the first time I saw it because I saw it in the theater hoping for something a lot of fun, and it just isn't. I don't even find it fun in the bad way because it's, you know, it's one of those things where when, you know, when somebody's trying to be so bad it's good kind of thing, it like just Jamie doesn't Kennedy? Work. Yeah, like Jamie Kennedy. Yeah.
Knock it off.
It just doesn't work. Or and Corey this is Feldman. Trying really hard to be a B movie instead of, you know, the really good B movies are movies that are actually trying to be good movies. They just aren't made by very, you know, by people who know what they were doing, or the budget's too small or whatever. Or there's quirkiness. This is everything seems manufactured and to be a B movie. And you know, when I first saw it and I came out of the theater, I thought, I don't know, maybe someday people will look at this as a cult classic kind of thing. But it still isn't.
No,
people
it's not.
People don't talk about this that way.
They only talk about the internet thing and the line. That's right. What everybody remembers its movie as.
Yeah. And I think it was designed, I don't know if it was designed to be, I'm sure they wanted to make money out of it the first time it came out, but I'm sure that the filmmakers were thinking someday people are going to appreciate this in the cult classic way. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, how many years in are we now?
Oh, what, it's what year? 2006. It came out.
So almost 20 years now. And
yeah.
And it hasn't hit that status yet. It's probably never going to. And I think it's because it's overtly trying to be that kind of B movie. One note I took is truly terrible movies make for difficult note taking. There's two kinds of movies that are hard to take notes on, and actually, two of them are in this list. Now, I don't mean bad. I mean, one is so good it's hard to – there's good movies that are hard to take notes because you just enjoy watching them. And I would say that's Train to Busan. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. But this movie is hard to take notes on because it's just so bad. And there isn't even anything – I mean, Joe gave a good list of notes and he took tons of notes. Yeah, you took some of mine. But I was really struggling to get through this. And I think it wasn't – maybe it was because it wasn't my first time watching it. And I have – angry memories of leaving the theater feeling mad at myself for spending money on this when at the time I didn't have that much money to be spending. Let's see. The snakes are terrible. They're just terrible CGI. Just there's no getting around it. They're awful. The stairway that, you know, going up into first class is the worst constructed stairway of all time. Like it just falls apart like a house of cards when people are on it. And then joke, it's just lines like you'd be amazed to see what a man can do with one hand. That was the pilot's line.
The pilot. Yeah.
Yeah. Just lines like that were just cringy. What the hell is this college snake guy going to do for the FBI? So they're dropping. This guy drops everything. He's got a crisis on his hands with a plane, and he himself, like special agent or whatever, drives to a college to get a college expert on snakes as though that's going to help them on that plane with snakes going everywhere doing stuff. Like, how is he going to help them?
I like the actor, though, the snake specialist guy.
Oh, yeah, from Jerry Maguire.
Oh, I was going to say he was in High Fidelity. He was Dick.
Oh.
That worked in the record store. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good actors in this. They're dealing with a terrible dialogue. I'm not sure what that. Yeah, I don't know. I wrote one that I don't know what it means. Not sure why the stewardess needed to be told to hold on.
Blow the hole in the side of the plane.
There's a hole in the side of the plane, and the guy goes, "Hold on!" Like I'm pretty sure she was going to do that naturally.
Yeah.
Superfly Agent Flynn. Oh my God.
I really had, there's no established relationship with the kid who's going to testify either. We know so little about him, and he's got so few minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
So he's not even necessary.
Well, and how they know who he is, you know, he was just, they just heard a motorcycle drive off. How would they know? How did they know where he lived? That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they had, well, they're trying to promote the Red Bull. I mean, the Red Bull was pretty prominent, you know, he's holding the Red Bull. He's drinking out of the Red Bull.
This movie brought to you by Red, a paycheck.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Red Bull in the plastic bag.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. At one point he said, when they're going to bust a hole in the window, he says, brace yourselves. No, you get in the seats and buckle in. You don't stand there and hold on to the seats. Yeah. You get into the seats and buckle in, you know, your arm's not going to keep you from being sucked out a hole in a plane, especially once it opened up to about the size of a Buick.
And I would expect a trained stewardess like Juliana Margulies on her last day of a long career would have known better.
Yeah. And I'm assuming somebody in the cargo hold knew that they had like 10,000 snakes on this plane, right?
But they were underneath the flowers.
Yeah.
You could hear them hissing.
Let's just put this big wall of boxes in front of it. No one will ever know.
Yeah, exactly. And then my last note was, thank God I never have to watch this again. I will never watch this movie again. That's
ever?
It. Ever. I have no desire. I mean, the only way I would is if I don't even know what purpose or why I would ever have to watch this again, unless I happened to be someplace where it was playing in the background, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of a one and done for me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
This is like,
me too.
This is like Meet the Deedles. I'm never going to watch it again.
I've never seen that movie.
I haven't seen that either.
Isn't that with Tom Arnold?
No, I don't think he's in it.
Is that the...
Oh, I'm thinking of
Peter Jackson?
The Stupids.
No, it's... oh, close. That's another one I'll never watch again.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Moving
well, that
on.
That was a winner. That was a winner.
That was a real winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right. Well, the next one is choo-choo. We're out of train. We're out of train, guys. It's a horror movie about train.
He found a train.
All right. By the way, Meet the Deedles was starring Paul Walker, in case anybody's interested.
That's not the Peter Jackson. Isn't that a Peter Jackson movie?
Give me one second.
Meet Maybe the not. Deedles?
Maybe not.
With Paul Walker?
No. No, it is not.
Okay. I have it mixed up.
It's about two surfers that end up as Yellowstone Park Rangers.
Oh, Jesus.
What the
to fuck? Stop a former ranger who's out for revenge.
Jesus, you watched it?
It was one of those things that it came out in 1998, which was like the summer of ska, and it had a great ska soundtrack, and I bought that, and I loved it, and then one of these days I'm like, I gotta watch this movie. It's just terrible.
Like the music. Yeah. So, the Train to Busan is our next one, 2016. What's not to love about this film? And I'm with Matt. It's hard to write notes about a perfect film. It's a perfect zombie film, possibly the best zombie film ever made, in my opinion. And that's saying a lot because I love zombie films like World War Z, Dawn of the Dead, both the original and the remake. You know, that's why I loved Walking Dead until Glenn died. No, that's not true. Until the tiger showed up. I love the whole character arc of Siak Woo, the father who is a shitty father who never spends quality time with his daughter, who you think is an absolute prick at the beginning. But at the end of the film, he just has his character has just come full circle to become a heroic father by learning through certain people what it takes to be that way. And this is my favorite design as far as zombies are, and they're fast menacing. They pile up on each other. And this film pulls at your emotions, at least mine, because I mean, you actually care about these characters and you don't want them to die. And I at the end of this film, I get misty-eyed all the time watching the end. It's just so poetically beautiful, especially in the tunnel while she's singing. And you think they're going to get shot, but you hear the little girl singing. And it's just it's a beautiful picture. It's funny at times. It's scary as shit at times. And it's just the smart moves that these characters make. They were making really good decisions. And I just loved it. Matt, what do you think of it?
This is one of those movies. It's hard to take notes on because you get so into watching it, you know, and I've seen it at least once before this, probably. I think I've seen it twice before this. So this would be number three. And it is, it's one of those movies that you just, if it's on, I watch it, you know. The dubbed version, though, on Peacock, the dubbed version is the default. At least it was on my TV. And holy cow, it's bad. I watched like a couple minutes of the dubbed version, and it's the worst dubbing. I mean, dubbing in general is pretty bad, but it's particularly bad for such a good movie. I'm not sure why they do dubbing as default. I guess they don't trust American audiences are going to watch a subtitle movie, which I just don't
see. I wouldn't trust them.
Well,
I think a lot of people,
the younger people watch subtitles for English speaking films nowadays. Like my son and his girlfriend, and I've read this or heard this, the younger generation has subtitles on a lot. And so
I do.
Even in English speaking?
For English. Yeah. I've been starting to get into the habit of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it bothers me with English, but
I consider it to be like a time saver, because if somebody's if they've got like an accent or a dialect, or even if they're just speaking quickly and I didn't quite catch what they said, mm-hmm. I'll get that brief instance to hurry up and read it before it moves on. Mm. So I don't have to pause it, rewind it. So what did he say?
Oh, yeah.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, it bugs me too much because I find myself reading instead of watching the movie. So I like the visual so much that if I don't have to, you know, I don't mind reading a foreign film, but if it's English, then I'd rather not.
And you miss a lot of facial expressions too. Yeah. With the acting, little and subtleties. All that, 'cause you're reading. Yeah.
But yeah, the dubbed, if you're somebody who hasn't watched it yet, the dubbed version of this is terrible. So don't. And it is default on Peacock, but you can go, if you just pause it, there's like a little symbol there that you can click on and you can change it to the undubbed and subtitled version. But this movie is shot really beautifully. It is beautiful to look at. Like the everything's crisp, everything's clean, it's brightly lit. This is not a dark movie at all. Everything is brightly lit in broad daylight. And there aren't a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of horror movies are set at night for obvious reasons, but this is one that is bright daylight. The zombies turn fast, and the people learn the rules even faster. There really isn't a stupid person trope in this movie that I can think of. There was a jerk, you know, the business guy's a bit of a jerk, and he, one of my notes is he kind of reminded me of him. Yeah, he kind of reminded me of the middle-aged business guy from the Sadness.
Oh,
you know, guy. Okay. He wound up becoming really evil though when he turned.
Yeah.
But it's very similar. But you know, these movies kind of play, you know, with there are tropes within the people, the survivors. Or the people trying to survive. But this movie, they're not annoying. You know, a lot of these movies like this, the secondary characters can be super annoying. And in this, they're all, I feel like, you know, the business guy is a jerk, but pretty much everyone else is very likable, right?
He was a jerk, but he was still making smart moves. He was just trying to survive.
Right. No, he's dumb, but he's
an asshole for killing people, putting him in the way, but yeah.
But there's no annoying characters. There's no Jamie Kennedy types or whatever. And I like the I hate Corey Feldman's. I like the baseball team a lot. I really like those guys. That the girl and everything. I like them. I like the YouTube like news reports that they were showing, you know, every now. I think there were a couple spots where they showed those. I thought they were pretty interesting. And the girl, his daughter, is a really sweet kid, very polite kid. I like that. And again, like I said, the supporting characters aren't like annoying. There's not annoying, you know, people. It's sometimes in these movies, they try to make each secondary character have it such a strong personality that they're all different and like almost sometimes they exaggerate it to have each character be really different. But in this, they felt like everybody was toned down. They seemed like normal people.
So the opposite of Snakes on a Plane.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, right. Very much so. Yeah. Snakes in a Plane is the exact opposite of this when it comes to that. Yeah. The secondary characters were all annoying. I mean, the main characters were pretty annoying too, but the secondary characters were wildly annoying people. But in this, not. Let's see. And that, I like that scene in the, I think it's a train stop that they go in, the first one that they stop at.
Yeah.
It's so tense. That whole. Sequence. It's choreographed so well, and everything, you know, they're trying to sneak past these guys and get past them or whatever, and when all, you know, these creatures turn so fast, it's very 28 Days Later-esque, but you know, I like that, you know, The Walking Dead works because it's a episodic series, and so slow moving zombies will eventually get to you. But in a movie, it definitely works to have zombies that are, or you know, infected or whatever it is you want to call it, that trope, having them be fast moving works really well. And I think this is just a great example of it. And it's certainly an overdone subgenre. But this is a shining example of it. So I really, this is one of my favorites of that. And you know, and the Koreans are just amazing.
They kill it. They kill it every single time.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
Joe, you hated it.
No, this is like the fourth or fifth time I've seen this. Mm-hmm. So much to the point where I decided to not take Matt's advice, because every time I've watched this before, I watched the subtitle. So this time I decided to watch the dubbed version.
Yikes.
And that is my only slight about this, is if it is just terrible. The dubbing, the characters that the actors, the voiceover actors that they got are just horrible. Mm-hmm. And
you watched the dubbed version the whole way through?
I watched the American dubbed version the entire way through.
Oh, wow. Because
that is the, I had never done that before. So, I will never do it again, but I certainly will watch this film more than
you're an this animal, time. Joe.
Well, I've seen it the other ways ludicrous. Before. Yeah, so
it is ludicrous. It's like it's like those people that sit on planes and just stare at the back of the seat without looking at their phone or anything. Raw dogging on the plane.
Yeah,
that's what Joe could do. I bet Joe can do that.
Well, it's like Joe assigns tasks to himself, just like it's his own. Task. He doesn't announce it. He just does. It's kind of like when we watched the Friday the 13th.
Yeah, he watched it backwards.
Watch them all backwards.
Watch it backwards.
Yeah, so, well, this made sense. So it would get better. Everyone that I watched.
It's incredible. The restraint you have, the discipline you have is fucking incredible.
Would you guys rather I announce this ahead of time so you can participate, or just
I don't know if I could do it.
No,
I mean, if I come up with a winner,
it doesn't matter if you announce it or not, because I would never watch the. I watched 2 minutes of the dubbing of this, and I felt like I had like accomplished something.
He likes to torture himself.
I raw dogged through really the whole does. Thing. Yeah.
He raw dogged it. That's what we're going to call that, I guess, from now on, is when you watch a bad dubbed movie all the way through, you raw dogged it.
Raw dogged it.
Raw dogged it.
I do want to point out that I saw that this Edgar Wright was a huge fan of this film, and he even tweeted the best zombie movie he's seen in forever. I want to point this out. I don't really care, but I just didn't want anybody else that's listening to be shouting at their phone or screen or whatever. Technically, they're not zombies. They're just infected because these people don't die and come back to life. That's technically a zombie, is the argument I've heard. They're just simply infected. But whatever they're infected with, it does. I really appreciate, much like a World War Z type of scenario, where they illustrate how quickly this multiplies and gets out of hand.
Yeah.
Especially early on in the film, when a couple people are infected and then a couple more. And as they're running towards the camera through the aisles of the cars, they're tripping over each other in mass.
Yeah.
And it's just awestruck of just how massively quick this infection can spread to everybody. I love the opening of this film where you see the deer that had just gotten hit, and the guy gets out of his truck and he looks at it, he's like, well, that deer's dead, and he just gets back in his car and he leaves. Then all of a sudden, this deer carcass on the ground, just start, his legs start shaking and twitching, and then he stands up and he looks in the camera with those horrible dead deer eyes. And it's just at that moment, you know, like, oh my God, this is going to be great. If this is how it starts, it's just going to get better. And it does. I do have questions on, like, for most of the stuff, most of the decisions that the characters made, dead on, 100%. I'm backing them all the way. But I do think that there was one time where they like threw some water on the glass door that the zombies were on the other side of, and they stuck a bunch of newspaper on it so that the zombies couldn't see them, and the zombies calmed down because they didn't know they were there. I keep saying zombies instead of infected. I wish they would have done that more. It seemed like they figured out how to handle these zombies effectively and quickly. Then forgot all about it. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. They figured out a lot of things very quickly. Like when you, I get it, because you want to get past the problem with these movies now, infected movies or zombie movies, is that we're already aware, like the audience is aware. Yeah. And so it's hard to, you can't, it's sort of like a Marvel movie where they're doing origin story. We've watched every origin story kind that you can. Let's get past the origin story. And so this movie did that. It like didn't belabor the point of these people figuring out the rules. They just figured them out so that we could just get through the story.
Yeah. That'd be like having a vampire movie where they have to explain to us how to kill vampires.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. We've seen this.
Yeah.
My only other thing, the bigger guy who's married to the pregnant woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose baby's awesome. On the way. I loved him. I was so sad to see him go.
And every time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck.
The special effects and the carnage in this film, when the trains are hitting each other, it's so well done. It's just something this is one thing that I would definitely watch if it ever came to the big screen again, because some of the effects in there are just so well done. You really get a feel for the scale of what they were trying to accomplish with these special effects. The trains hitting each other and knocking them off the tracks was just amazing.
Can you imagine watching this on the big screen? How fun would that be? God damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
maybe one day.
I don't have, like Matt said, I don't have a whole ton of notes.
Yeah.
I wish that the old lady that gets infected would have been just as ferocious as everyone around her. That is a small nitpick of mine. But unlike the snakes that all have different levels of venom, this infectious disease that's turning everyone into these lunatics should have affected everyone the same way, in my opinion. But that's it. That's my only small, tiny little nitpick of this. That, and I really wish they could have figured out a way to disconnect the cars. The tunnel scene is one of my favorites. When they're going through the tunnel and they figure the only way to get across or to get through these zombies is to climb up on the luggage shelves along the top of the ceiling to try to just scoot by nice and quiet so they don't get heard or seen. It's just so tense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a great film. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. On to the next one.
All right, Marcus.
Vroom, vroom. We're going to the cars, the automobiles. And yes, that is
the only movie that could have possibly fit the theme.
It's The Hitcher, 1986. It's in my top 10 favorite horror films of all time. I just love it. It's The Hitcher is a 1986 American horror film directed by Robert Harmon. And I did a little research on this director, and basically the only other thing he's ever directed is these Jesse Stone TV movies starring Tom Selleck. And he hasn't done really anything else but that, which is kind of weird. This movie stars Thomas C. Howell, Rutger Hauer, and Vic Morrow's daughter. The plot is a young man delivering a car from Chicago to San Diego, and he picks up a hitchhiker played by Rutger Hauer, who becomes obsessed with the kid and plays mind games and slaughters and kills anyone in his way. And I've always loved this film. I remember seeing this at my friend's house, and after we watched it, we rewinded the VHS and we rewatched it again. That's how much we loved it. It was just an awesome movie. And what I love about this movie, it's just a simple concept of the film. I think Thomas C. Howell and Rutger Hauer are wonderful in their roles. And it has badass car scenes, helicopters exploding, shotguns that are so powerful they blow off car doors. And it has the best French fry scene in movie history, in my opinion. And
do you have a list in your wallet of the top French fry scenes?
French fry scenes.
Like, what's your number four?
I don't know. It's the only French fry scene that pops out in my head.
Okay.
It didn't stand out to me, but all right.
The French fry scene with the finger?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Like ketchup. It had ketchup on it, bloody. It was awesome.
I mean, it's the
finger
scene.
I feel like I need to make that list of best French fry scene movies.
Never know
when that's going to come in handy.
Yeah, you never know. You keep it in your wallet, Joe.
Yep.
Maybe it's in their sequel, The Hitcher 2.
Could be.
Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't seen this.
It is with C. Thomas Howell. It went straight to videos with C. Thomas Howell, Carrie Wuerer, and guess who the hitchhiker is? You'll never guess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, it's Gary Busey's son, Jake Busey.
I can see that.
I kind of want to see it. Joe.
I should have guessed Sam Elliott.
No, but Sam Elliott was asked to be on this film. Yeah. And same with Terrence Stamp. Mm-hmm. Terrence Stamp. And but no, they went with Rutger. Huh. Yeah, they were thinking of Tom Cruise as the part. They were thinking of Emilio Estevez, but see, Thomas got it. They're just looking at the cast of The Outsiders, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they were hot.
Yeah.
Then. I had never seen this film before. I liked it.
Good.
I don't hold it like as best French fry movie ever, like you do, but it was good.
It didn't crack your top five French fry movies, Joe.
I supersized it. I give it three French fries.
Oh my God.
I love the claustrophobic sense of it inside the car scenes. I like Jennifer Jason Leigh in this quite a bit. Although the thing that really drives me nuts is, how old is this? 1980? All right, we're spoiling this. There's a scene where she gets abducted and tied to the cab of the truck, like she's going to be drawn and quartered. And the cops really didn't do a whole lot to try to diffuse that situation.
Yep, that's my note too. That's my note too.
That just bothered me so much. The cops didn't intervene. It's like, oh my God, we don't have a card to play in this hand at all. We better just do whatever Rutger Hauer says and grab C. Thomas Howell and have him apologize or whatever. Like, they couldn't have had C. Thomas Howell go talk to him and then, I don't know, maybe walk behind the semi with a knife and cut the rope.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been a completely different movie, but it just, that seemed really easy. Like,
yeah, the cops I wouldn't need to be very easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, he was looking and whatnot.
Not really.
I
guess
he didn't do a thing.
Well,
and there was one point where he kind of leaned into the kid and was not paying attention at all. And right. They could have had somebody crawling under and just cut all. It was rope. It's not like it was chain. They could have.
Yeah. It was pretty thick rope.
But still, they could have cut the rope.
But then again, we're forgetting what's the number one casted character in all of horror films?
Bumbling cops.
The bumbling cops. Yeah. And that's our blatant showing right there. Mm-hmm. Although I do like the actor that played the sheriff.
He's in tons of things. The Walking Dead.
He played the old guy in The Walking Dead.
He was in The Mist.
Yeah.
He was in Shawshank Redemption. He was in Green Mile too, I think.
He's awesome. Yeah,
he's a fantastic character actor. I love him in just about everything he's in.
Every time.
Yeah. So I like Rutger Hauer. I don't find him, I don't know, scary. It's weird. I looked at the trivia on IMDb and almost every tidbit of trivia was just about how everyone was so afraid of Rutger Hauer. He's so intimidating. He chipped he knocked a tooth out when he lunged from the truck to the car. I don't know. It's a great shot. I find him menacing. I don't find him threatening. I don't know why, but
wow.
Yeah. I don't want this to detract. I did like this film. I had never seen it before. I'm glad I've seen it.
Yeah. When you watched it, was it just like a box? It wasn't like,
like 3x4 aspect
ratio. Yeah. I was surprised by that. Like how it hasn't gotten an upgrade or anything like that.
Well, it was 1986. They probably just shot it in that format.
Yeah.
It's kind of a classic film. Yeah. At least classic for me, I guess. Matt, what'd you think?
I mean, this, I remember seeing this on HBO, I think. I didn't see it in the theater because I was pretty young when this came out, but I think I was young. What year did this come out?
86.
Yeah. I did see this. I believe it was on HBO when it came on HBO, and I remembered seeing that the reviews on Siskel and Ebert really liked this movie. And I think I am kind of scared of Rutger Hauer in this. I thought he was pretty good. And I think he played a villain like this very well. Let's see.
It's very charismatic.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
Super charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to jump back in, but I will say, all right, I'll give you this. The Rutger Hauer scene. It's very early on when C. Thomas Howell has already escaped and there's that station wagon that drives by that's got the kids in it.
They deserve to die.
And you just see this little teddy bear wiggling back and forth. And then all of a sudden the teddy bear moves out of frame and there's Rutger Hauer behind it. That was like his top moment for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who picks up a hitchhiker with kids?
With kids, right.
Yeah, oh. Yeah,
fucking
no kidding.
Idiots.
Yeah, yeah,
they deserve to die.
And especially at this time, this isn't the 70s, right? And 60s where hitchhiking was common. By the 80s, there had been killers already who had picked up hitchhikers, and you know, people just weren't picking up hitchhikers. So I don't know why he decided to pick him up. It never really says really, and not a very, you know, there's no explanation, I don't think, for why he picks up the guy. I know he had been tired, but he's wide awake when he picks him up. So, and then sometimes see Thomas Howell's reactions to things were kind of comical there at the very beginning. He says he's going to kill him. Like Rutger Hauer tells him basically within 5 minutes that he's going to kill him. And see Thomas Howell had this reaction that was like he had told him he's, you know, I'm going to swallow a worm or something. It didn't.
I'm going to tickle you.
Yeah, exactly. And then he had a pretty easy time throwing him out of the car. Like, I don't think it's easy. Even if the car door is ajar,
the door is ajar,
that doesn't mean it's wide open. You know, that just means it's ajar. Like, you still could push on it. And it's probably as a second, you know, they click shut. It's not, you know, it's just not completely shut. But even if the door is completely wide open, pushing a guy the size of Rutger Hauer out the car door, it just doesn't happen that easy. Certainly not. I mean, you'd have to have Superman to launch him out of the car the way he flew out.
Right. But I do like the reaction that he had right afterwards. It was, I thought it was a real reaction. He basically squealed like a girl. He was so excited and so happy.
Yeah,
I just thought it was a real reaction.
It would have made more sense if he had kind of turned the car, you know, done a quick turn and pushed him out. Or I don't know. I think Rutger Hauer was creepy. I do like the scene of them in the restaurant together, you know, with the gun under the table and everything. I thought that was very well done. I thought some of the framing stuff that he was doing was a little unbelievable. You know, I thought he had the ability to be everywhere. Now, I did have a question though, because there's a certain point at the restaurant when he puts pennies on his eyes and says, you're a smart kid, figure it out. And it made me wonder if he's dead, if he's in hell. Because that you put pennies on the eyes of people who are dead.
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered, but then it kind of abandoned that whole thing. And it just came off then after that as just a creepy thing for him to do. But as I was watching it, it almost made me wonder if the original script of this was that he was in some kind of purgatory or hell or something like that and reliving something, but they abandoned that and it became just more of cat and mouse, because there were some surreal qualities to it, like the dust storm, and it seemed like no one else was really around a lot of the time. And
abandoned gas stations.
Yeah. A lot of abandoned places. And so I really wondered did I miss something the first time I saw this? Like, is he in like some sort of purgatory? But then once
that's a really good thought though, Matt, seriously,
the original script had like 3 hours worth of footage.
Did it?
Yeah.
But I don't know. And then I had the same note as Joe. I don't know why the cops just didn't cut her loose like while he was talking, because it's not like he was glancing back there. In fact, I don't think I saw him glance back after the first, you know, 30 seconds of him, of their conversation in the cab of the truck. I don't think he glanced back there once. And then at one point he even leaned into the kid. It would have been perfect for one of those guys to crawl under and just cut the rope, you know, and then they wouldn't have had a problem. I also feel like that they had the wrong ending. I feel like it should have ended with the girl dying.
And then
maybe shooting him or something like that. I think that would have been a more powerful ending than having it was just like a new chase and, you know, they arrest him and he somehow gets away. And it's, you know, that I thought that it was an anticlimactic ending. I felt like the stronger ending was the girl getting split in half pulled apart and him shooting him there in the cab, and then that being this horrible ending. And it wouldn't surprise me if the European ending of this movie was that. It wouldn't be if I did some research on it, maybe. But
the French extreme ending.
That would be a pretty good ending, actually. Yeah, you're right.
So, but But you know, overall, I think this is a classic, and I remember the first time I saw it, I thought it was, you know, fantastic, and it's high adrenaline. It has a lot of the Steven Spielberg movie. What was that with the truck again?
Duel.
Yeah. It has a lot of Duel in it. It's not as, you know, he tries to frame him more, you know, in Duel, it was more gaslighting and then antagonizing mm-hmm. him. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So good movie.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
All right. Well, the next pick.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Wow.
The next pick is mine. And this fall for me, because this pick is going to be our first pick of September. We will be in September when our next episode airs. And so this fall, I'm going to have my next two picks are not, it's not going to be the same theme. I'm not going to say what my pick after this one is going to be, but it's going to be having to do with hauntings. That's all I'll say. The theme won't be hauntings, but it'll have to do with that. This one is going to be hauntings. I guess we could say hauntings redux because I did ghosts and hauntings before, but when we did it, we didn't really pick movies. It was back when we were still just watching whatever we thought fit the theme. But in this case, we're going to watch three movies that have to do with hauntings. And the first one is Pulse. This is a Japanese film by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. I've always heard good things about it. I've never seen this one, so I'm interested to see it. It is on Hoopla and AMC Plus. And it's called Pulse from 2001. Don't mix it up. I think there was a remake that was an American one, and it's got like 1% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. But this one,
I think that's with Chris Evans.
Is it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And it has 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. This one is 2001, and it's certified fresh. So hopefully it's good. I think it should be. I've heard good things about it. So this is Pulse. And I had just seen a movie this summer by this guy that everyone's talking about called Chime. So I heard that this was supposed to be good too. And then from 2016, it's called A Dark Song. And this is on Shudder. It's also on Plex and AMC Plus. It's called A Dark Song from 2016. And last but not least, and this is I don't know if I call it a guilty pleasure, maybe, but it's one that I liked, and I know it was kind of bashed at first, but I think it's kind of taken on a bit of a cult following since then. And that is, you guys may have already seen this, but I kind of wanted to revisit it, and it's a good time of year to revisit this. The Woman in Black from 2012, starring Daniel Radcliffe.
Never seen it.
It's another haunting, and I kind of like this one. There's some questionable CG in it for sure, but I thought the story's pretty good, and there's some, I thought, pretty quality jump scares in it. So it's a fun one. I enjoyed it, but you will see ratings on this one all over the map. So your mileage may vary, but anyway, so that is The Woman in Black. And I don't know if I said what that's on. It's on Hoopla or for
and
Rent.
Canopy.
It's on Canopy too. Okay. And it's, let's see. Yeah, Hoopla. It might also be on Paramount Plus, maybe. I'm not sure.
Good. I have that.
I'm not sure. Check. You might want to check on that. I'm not sure. But otherwise, it is on Hoopla or for rent. And then A Dark.
What year was that? The Woman in Black. What year?
The Woman in Black.
2012.
Got it. And A Dark Song is from 2016, and it's on Shudder or AMC Plus. And then Pulse is on AMC Plus and Hoopla, and that's from 2001. So those will be the picks for next time. And I guess that's
great.
It. Yeah.
That's it.
Anything else?
No.
No.
All right. Well,
welcome to the Cityscare Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mark Biscotti.
No, you're not.
Okay.
And you can find him on IMBD.
Yeah. Check out his IMBD page.
The Internet Movie Butthole Database. Yeah.
The beta days.
Beta days. All right. Well, I guess that's it. So we'll see you next time.
Hang on. We need to remind people to go out to CineScareHorror.com and not only look through our backlog of 103 episodes, but also click on that merchandise button and go visit all of the merchandise that we may have up there for sale. Buy a t-shirt. Helps out the show. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah. And we might as well announce this now. We do have a new project coming up. We're going to be shooting in October a new short called On Halloween Night. And it's going to be starring Matt Van Winkle from The Foot of the Bed, Ashish Samuel, who this will be his acting debut, and Abigail Davidson, and our own Jimmy Oster has a little part as well. So we'll be doing that in October, and it will be hitting festivals hopefully in 2025, probably about the same schedule as The Foot of the Bed. Foot of the Bed will be released October 18th. And Joe did the poster for on Halloween Night. It's a fantastic poster. So I'm going to be posting that. Yeah, well, by the time this airs, I will already have posted it. I'm going to do it tomorrow morning on Wednesday. And I don't know, Joe, if you want to make the t-shirt available.
I can do that.
Yeah.
It'll be out there before this episode airs.
And Joe designed a t-shirt for this that is absolutely spectacular. And if you buy the t-shirt, you're helping fund the movie to some degree. So if you could please buy the t-shirt, it will help our little budget too. So
every little cent helps.
Yeah, every little cent helps. So please.
I didn't know Joe did that. It's awesome.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah. That's why when I sent it to the CineScare group, I said Joe is a goddamn national treasure, and I posted the t-shirt.
And I completely agreed.
I
thought you were saying he was a goddamn national treasure because he's going to be on a radio show.
No. I mean, it was attached. My comment was attached to the poster and the t-shirt that I sent to you. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I am a national treasure for more than one reason.
I didn't say that about a text that had happened like way up the chain. No, it was it was the immediate thing that I sent along with that comment.
Oh. Hey, how come I wasn't invited to the auditions? Maybe I could have been in it.
Were no auditions. Were you going
to fly from California or to California for that?
Yeah, no.
I'd fly to California for Matt.
Yeah, there were probably no auditions.
There'd probably be snakes on your motherfucking plane, too.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so go to www.centerscarehorror.com, get our merch, help us out, and I guess we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
IMBD, IMBD. That's what I said. It's the IMBD. Oh, IMD.